agree or disagree.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Marina Joshi, and today with my guest on the phone line, I'm discussing the Valdai International Discussion Club, the forum that unites leading world political analysts and experts. And we're talking about the speech of Russian President Vladimir Putin that is considered to be one of the most important foreign policy statements. With me on the phone line today, I have Joseph Mifsud, who is the director of London Academy of Diplomacy, and Dmitry Suslov, who is the deputy director for Center of Comprehensive European and International Studies at the Higher School of Economics in Moscow. Well, Joseph, what are the areas that should be the top priority in relations between Europe and Russia?
I think there is a way, and there are a number of areas. The economic side, the political side, terrorism, which is also extremely big. It's front page news in every European country. You know, the idea of European jihadism, for example, which is extremely difficult. It is the same in the Russian Federation as well. So I think developing new ties between the European Commission and the Russian Federation should be one of the top priorities of the Commission on this side. So in a way, President Putin has also shown his possibilities of actually engaging, not in exchanging blows, but in engaging with the EU. And I think this should be taken up.
Okay, well, Dmitry, what expectations do you have from the new team in the EU?
Well, I won't be too optimistic on that, that there is much anxiety in Europe vis-a-vis the future of the relations with Russia. I mean, of course, Europe wants some de-escalation, both in Ukraine and Russia-EU relations, but at the same time, Europe doesn't want to undermine in any way its dependence on the United States. Both security and economic. And thus, I think much will depend on Russia and on Russian behavior. And I hope Russia will be smart enough not to frighten Europe, but to be more cooperative with Europe in order to show that indeed Russia is constructive and that Russia is not a threat to European energy, military, or whatever security, but on the contrary, Russia is a part of the solution to those real challenges to Europe. If Russia succeeds in doing so, then it will be much harder for the United States to have a consolidated Euro-Atlantic negative approach towards Russia. As for personalities, yes, this shape of leadership of the European Union is more objectively constructive than the previous one, despite the fact that Donald Tusk will be the head of the European Council. But, you know, the problem is that with the European Union, still real decision-making powers, especially in foreign and security policy, remain with the nation states, with the member states of the European Union. And here we continuously see the splits. There are some member states of the EU who are philosophically anti-Russian. There are countries who would like reconciliation. And there are countries who are changing. And
so there's no unity,
yeah? Who are changing is Germany. So much will depend on the future of Russian-German relations.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because, you know, before Milan, it was very difficult for President Putin and Angela Merkel to meet up. Their talks were either canceled or delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some difficulty on that path. Do you think Germany is ready for rapprochement with Russia, or it's conditional?
Well, it's hard to say right now, you know. I think Angela Merkel is in a very difficult position right now. On the one hand, she has her business interests with Russia. She doesn't want to break down the relations with Russia completely because it ultimately marginalizes Germany worldwide and in Europe. But on the other hand, she doesn't want to undermine transatlantic links. She wants to make impression that she listens to Poland and the Baltic states and takes the position of them into consideration. And also, one of the major problems of Russian-German and Russia-EU relations is that the vision of Europe that is promoted by European Union is also unacceptable to Russia. And this is also a problem. So this problem of rules lies not just in Russian-US relations, but in Russia-EU relations as well. I mean, Joseph was completely correct when he said that we now have a new reality in Eurasia, which is the Eurasian Union. It exists there.
So this is indeed a problem, because earlier, remember when we started our discussion, We have established that in order to bridge the gaps that exist at the moment, it's important for the sides to embrace each other, each other's policies, philosophy, etc. But right now, it seems like each of these centers of power, the EU on the one hand and the US and Russia, have their own visions of how to build trust and relationships. Well, the question here is, of course, I mean, the US being one of the leading powers here and influencers of the rules of the game, the question here is the U.S. interested in a strong Russia and in a good relationship with Russia? Joseph, the question is for you.
Looking at it from the European point of view, I would say more than that. I think the U.S. is interested, but at the same time is extremely skeptical about actually having this kind of relationship. It's seeing that Russia, in a way, with its relationship with China, which is, I think, extremely important, the relationship with that the Russian Federation has and might have also in terms of stronger economic links through the BRICS. I think that there is major concern that Russia is going its own way and that the no rules game is also played by the Russian Federation. The issues in the Ukraine have been cited as one example of having no rules in a way. I'm speaking here from the US perspective. Mm-hmm. Going back to the European side, I believe that the new European Commission will engage with the Eurasian Economic Union. I think it will. It's in their interest to actually engage. This is one of the areas that President Putin actually mentioned, the idea of economic ties, which binds Europe and the Russian Federation together. I think there is major concern that this could go the wrong way. And one of the phrases which were used during the Valdai were, has the genie fled the bottle? And how are we going to get him back in? And this is one of the things that we actually need to actually think about. Also, something else which I feel is extremely important. Dialogue and cooperation needs to be at the basis of all this.
Well, you see, these are all words, but actions are actually hard to follow. No. And that's the thing, because during meetings and conferences and summits, leaders usually say these words all the time. They say beautiful phrases, beautiful, enthusiastic words, but it's always hard for the action to follow, and it's always difficult to implement these things. I mean, some of them are easier said than done. The question is, what will be happening after? And here I'd like to also mention what former French Prime Minister Dominique de Villepin said. He said that the spiral of mistrust needs to be reversed. It somehow summarizes what we have discussed here. At the beginning, you said that now the relations between Russia and the West have reached their climax. In fact, they are so tense that they need to somehow, the tension needs to be diffused, and the leaders, all sides, have to start talking to each other, start to embrace each other. Now, the question here is, will the spiral of mistrust be reversed? Do you think the words of the former French prime minister will be taken on board in Europe? Dmitry, what sort of expectations do you have?
I'm not an optimist in the short-term prospect, but ultimately I think the sides will be compelled to start serious dialogue. Although, in my understanding, this serious dialogue is going to start no sooner than the middle of next decade. So I'm talking about the end of the next presidential cycle in the United States. Before that, the United States will continue to take Russia as a fake. And I mean, on this point, very briefly, and I agree with Joseph that the United States is taking Russian actions seriously, of course. Russian actions in the post-Soviet space vis-a-vis Ukraine, they are a huge challenge to the United States and a huge precedent which could undermine American credibility and American leadership positions worldwide, not just in Europe. And this is why they are taking it seriously. Although they're not taking unseriously Russia itself, they think that Russia does not deserve to act like that. So trust is a product of actions. Trust is a product of not words, but deeds. And I do not see the capacity of the United States to act in a way which would be acceptable for Russia. And I do not see Russia having the capacity to act in a way that would be acceptable for the United States in the next maybe 8-10 years. But after that, I think after a series of crises, and I think Ukraine is not the last one, there will be new crises, primarily in Central Asia and beyond. After a series of escalations the sides will be ready to stop and start reconciliation. Maybe it could happen even earlier, but for that to happen earlier, we really need independent position and independent action on the part of American allies to make this dialogue not just the Moscow-Washington dialogue, but to have an independent approach of Europe and Asian allies and partners of the United States. Because if there is a certain message from them to the United States, stop, I mean, simply the confrontational approach is not supported by them, then this reconciliation and serious dialogue, which would produce ultimately new rules, which will also in their turn produce trust, will happen earlier.
All right. Well, a very interesting answer here, a very interesting thought, although not very optimistic. It just requires us to wait for quite some time before positive changes will start happening. But Joseph, what is your take here? Will this mistrust be reversed? Will things start improving sooner rather than later? Or do you hold pretty much the same view as Dmitry does?
Perhaps a more positive, I wouldn't say more optimistic, but more positive. I think another key word which President Putin used, and I think which really struck a note with many of the people present, was the word interdependence. We have been speaking, we spoke during the Valdai quite a lot about and highlighted this word. Global security and the economy are part of this interdependence. I believe that whatever United States, the EU, the member states, Germany, the Russian Federation, China, all the others might decide and wish to do, is all tied also to the fact that there are these two pillars which are there looking at us, global security and the economy. I believe that we cannot risk 5, 10, 15 years to put things in order or to come up with new rules. There isn't that time. Otherwise, on one side, the global security part, and the other side, the economy, will be continuing to deteriorate. So what I believe will happen is that people will actually see sense. It always takes two to tango. You need two persons who actually would like to dance in the same way. Otherwise, it will not go in the same way. I believe that we are not going to look at long-term, the beginning of another Cold War, which is longer. One of the things that I think, if I may tie it back, is that the end of the Cold War, President Putin mentioned this as well, and I think this was also taken up by others. There was one party said that they had won it. The other party did not say that they had lost it. And there was no major effort actually to actually understand what had actually happened in terms of the end of this. This has to, in my opinion, be really, 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 really looked at. One other thing which I would, if I may, one of the other phrases or perceptions that was also mentioned was, can the United States continue with world policing or, you know, the adoption or the readoption, if it has not been taken off, of the Monroe Doctrine? This is something I think which is extremely important. I don't think that the United States has the energy to continue with this. So global security and the economy needs partners. And who better than the Russian Federation in this?
All right. Well, it's certainly a positive outlook. And on this note, I'd like to thank both of you, Joseph and Dmitry, for sharing your thoughts and impressions from the Valdai Discussion Club that took place in Sochi. With me in the program today, I had Joseph Mifsud, who's director of London Academy of Diplomacy, and Dmitry Suslov, who's deputy director for Center of Comprehensive European and International Studies at the Higher School of Economics here in Moscow. Thank you very much for being part of this program.
Thank you.